today, because this message is not from me, it's from Jesus. That's one of the things that's astounding when you do preach from the Word of God, especially when you know that you're part of a series and you know that people are focusing on these particular words in the Bible, and they are the words from the Lord Jesus Christ to particular churches. Some had praise, some had other things said about them. But it's very important for us to remember that it's a message from the Lord Jesus. It's very important for me to remember that I've got a message for Margaret that I'm bound to have forgotten by the time I walked out of the door. So, Revelation chapter 2 is where you're up to, and I hope that you've read it anyway before you came, because it's important to be aware. I'm going through Matthew at Western Way Chapel in Dymock, and I don't preach every week. So sometimes people say, what chapter are we up to? Are we into 21 or 20? So it's good that they're thinking ahead. So they're looking at the particular passage. I hope you look at this series, because it's a very important series that will change your life, basically, and certainly change our churches. Chapter 2. To the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favour. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which also I hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Words from Christ. If you've got a red letter Bible, you'll know that, because it's all in red, or most of it will be in red. It's the words of Christ to various churches, but it's also the words of Christ to us today, because prophecy and the Bible is relevant in every age, and it's something that we need desperately to cling hold to in these days. You only do a little bit of schoolwork and you'll realise how little the children know. Listen to a quiz program and you find out they can't even give you Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. They just don't know these things. And my wife said, well, why should they? We don't know the pop music songs either, or the film producers. So it's what you're into that matters. And we should, as believers in the Lord Jesus, be into what the Lord Jesus wants us to do and to be. Rediscover your first love. Most of us have been in love. Or thought we were. Yeah? You remember those times as well. It didn't last very long. I remember being on a bus. It was a long, long time ago when I was at school. And it was in London, in West Ham. And there was this gorgeous vision sitting opposite me. I thought, you know, I'm in love. Must be. Until she opened her mouth. The conductor came round, shows you how old it was. The conductor came round with a ticket machine. I thought it might have even been tickets, if you can remember that far back to punch. And she said, "Fault me, please." And the whole vision went like that. I lost my first love very quickly. But most of us can remember that The person that we finally married, if we're fortunate enough to have been married, some of us don't have that privilege, or as Paul puts it, trouble, because it's the single life can be just as fulfilled, lived with Christ, as the married one. But once you marry that person, who at first, especially when you were engaged, was in the forefront of your mind all the time, right? When you had a moment at the bus stop, you were thinking about this person. And you liked being in their presence. You liked talking with them, being with them. And then love matures, doesn't it, when you get married? And that overwhelming feeling of, you know, cement mixers in the stomach and all that subsides a bit and becomes sort of at a bearable level. And then we find out about those annoying habits that he has. Of course, she doesn't have any annoying habits. But you learn to love them in a different way. It's a maturing love. It's a growing love. And that's the way it should be for us believers. There's that initial, whoa, you know, for some people get this tremendous rush when they first trust Christ. It usually lasts about 2 years. They talk about the sort of honeymoon period where people go around, they talk about their faith, they talk to their neighbours, they go around and share quite openly with people in the open air, and in the office, in the factory, wherever. Then after about 2 years, they get sort of boring, as all of us can be if we're not careful. So the Lord comes to us and he often says, revive that love, or go back to the first principles if you've lost that first love for the Lord Jesus. There was a man who was very lonely, so he posted on a popular website, wife wanted. He was surprised the next morning that he had over 100 replies, but unfortunately they all said the same thing: you can have mine. And just to balance it up, husband and wife had been married for 60 years. And they had no secrets, except this lady had one secret, that she had a box, a shoe box, underneath her bed. And the woman was dying, so she gave her permission for her husband to go and open the box. And he opened the box and found a crocheted doll inside, and £70,000 in cash. He thought, what's that all about? She said, well, my mother told me that the secret to being happy when married was never to argue. Instead, I should keep quiet and crochet a doll. And he said, well, that's amazing. After 60 years, only one doll. We must have had a wonderful relationship and you must have been extremely happy. And she said, no. The £70,000 was brought in for the other dolls that I sold. Marriage is like being in a relationship with the Lord Jesus. In fact, we are part of the bride of Christ, aren't we? You're part of it. I'm part of it. This church is part of it. And we will be completely reunited with the Lord Jesus at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We've already thought about the second coming. It's right behind me, I think, if I remember rightly. Reminding us of the soon coming of the Lord Jesus. We don't know when he's coming, but we should be prepared. The church at Ephesus had lost its first love, but it did have strengths, you remember, as we read. Hard work, patient endurance, rejection of evil, and perseverance. That's something that a lot of people don't have these days. If you've ever been involved in a charitable trust or running a church for that matter, you'll find that some people take on a job and after a week or two, the perseverance leaves. In fact, we had a guy that came down to the campsite that we're building up in Newent, the Tom Roberts Adventure Centre. And he was going to do this, and that, and the other. He was telling us how this should be done, and he was talking, not working very much, but he was talking, and he did some work during that day. Never came again. Oh, I don't like the way they work. I would have done it this way. But it was really the lack of perseverance. In fact, somebody, his pastor, in fact, told me he doesn't like hard work. Well, if you're a Christian and you don't like hard work, you're not going to get involved fully in the work of the church, because it's a hard graft running Sunday schools week after week after week. Is hard work. Being an elder is hard work. Being anything in the kingdom of God involves hard work and perseverance. They had that. But it had some faults as well, didn't it? It was losing its identity, forsaking its first love. And that's so sad when that happens. But there was a promise as well given, that the church of Ephesus would eat from the tree of life, the tree from the Garden of Eden in paradise. Now that's sort of projecting right into the future, because that's what basically most of the book of Revelation is all about. I don't fully understand it. I enjoy reading it and trying to understand it. But it's wonderful to know that God's got a plan. He's got a plan not just to make another Eden. It's going to be much, much better than that. And that was pretty good, wasn't it? It was paradise down here on earth. But God has plans that we cannot even imagine. They're so wonderful. The background of this church was the fact that it was in a city where Artemis, or sometimes known as Diana of the Ephesians, was worshipped. A god, a thing. Something that grieves God to the core. The breaking of one of the commandments. We shall not have any other graven image and worship those. And yet all over the world you find people worshipping other gods. If you've ever been to India, you'll know there's about 30 million different gods in just one country. And it's very, very difficult to break the cycle that's in their minds. They've been brought up in this culture and they will go and worship this particular god and that particular god. And very often we in this country don't realise just how much we are involved in worshipping other things. Now, I don't worship West Ham United, but I know some people who do. In fact, they were on the television this morning. I don't know whether you saw it earlier on. I just watched the news before I came out. And there was this club of all old guys wearing Bobby Moore shirts and all the rest of it, having a wonderful time. And, oh, you know, and yesterday they were blowing their bubbles because we just saved ourselves again from the drop. That's the way it is. But that's their passion. That's their God to a degree. It comes first in their life. What comes first in your life? What comes first in your mind when you start to go to sleep? What comes first in your mind when you have a quiet moment sometime? We don't like quiet moments these days, do we? Because people have to think. And think is part of being a Christian. You have to think to become a Christian. You have to think to be the Christian you've become. And you have to think of the future too. You have to place your mind on heavenly things, not just things here on earth. Artemis was the ancient goddess of hunting and fertility. She had a wonderful temple. It was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It's in the city of Selkuk today. You may have even gone there on your holidays. We go to these places, and when we went to Turkey, we went up not just to see Ephesus and places like that. We went up to see where the Christians used to have their catacombs in caves, in a place that I used to call Cappadocia, because there's Pish from West End, and they call it Cappadocia, so I'm from now on I'll call it Cappadocia. But it's a wonderful place to see where Christians were thriving, even though they were being persecuted in that time. And these churches were thriving at that time. But now you go to Turkey and you find that Muslim faith, the Islamic revolution, has taken over largely, and you can't find very many Christians in that area because we lose our first love, and then things begin to slide. And sadly, that's what happens with many churches. And I'm sure it isn't happening in this church, but as I travel around, I can see and feel that this church maybe in 10 years' time isn't going to be here, because it's just battening down the hatches, as it were, waiting maybe for the Lord to come, or until they pass on to be with the Lord Jesus, and they're not thinking about the future. Glad that Craig's making plans this week, and I hope you'll all turn up and come and give him your ideas, so he's overwhelmed with wonderful ideas of things that you can do in this church. Show him that you haven't lost your first love, that you want to express your faith in a public way here, as you do in whatever function you have outside of this place. It's interesting, she was known as the Queen of Heaven. It's interesting that quite a number of gods, I've just checked up actually, there was one called Anat, Isis, interesting, isn't it? Inanna, Astarte, where we get Easter from, Hera, and Asherah, mentioned in the prophet Jeremiah's book. The Queen of Heaven was worshipped. And it's interesting that this sort of mix of the old faith and the new faith is still with us today. I don't have to work it out for you, do I? It's very clear. There has never been a Queen of Heaven. The Bible doesn't mention a Queen of Heaven, but there certainly is a King of Heaven. The Bible's full of his works. He alone rules in heaven, and he doesn't share his throne with anybody else. So they were praised for what they had done, their hard work and their perseverance through hardship. Many people think that the Christian life is going to be wonderful in that honeymoon period, that 2 years after you trusted Christ. They think that, oh, everything's going to be wonderful. And it does seem that God, in his grace, often allows things to happen. Your prayers seem to be answered immediately in those first years, and you have this wonderful time, like we were just having now, of singing, and you've got people in the church that fly first class in the front here, which is great, instead of being in the back in the economy. We're here because we want to worship the Lord, and it's great that these things can be done and we can rejoice in it. They had problems with different things going wrong in their lives. They were mixing some of the faiths around them, and there was the Nicolaitans, probably came from a bishop called Nicholas. There's always some bishop coming up, isn't there, and saying that there's no God, or there's no resurrection, or the Easter story is a load of rubbish. It was all a fairy story. Don't listen to what other people say. Listen to what this book says. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. Here he is giving you a message directly from these pages, from his lips. They had mixed their worship with other things. It's called syncretism. It happens today all over the world. Queen of Heaven is just one of the expressions that you see around the world, where you're mixing pagan goddess worship with Christianity. And once you mix Christ with something else, you end up with something that isn't Christianity. It's Christ alone. Didn't we sing that? Christ alone. Add anything to your Christian faith and you're in trouble. It's Christ alone who saves us. It's Christ alone who keeps us. It's Christ alone who tells us day by day what we should be doing. Their challenge was that they had lost their first love. That burning love for Jesus that somebody in our church recently said they came to faith, I think, when they were about 40. So they were late becoming a Christian, because most people become Christians before they're 21. In fact, most people become Christians before they're 14. So if you're 14 here today, make your decision to follow Christ today. Because when you're 15, it gets less likely. When you're 21, it's even less likely. And when you're 70, it's even less likely. Not impossible, but you check up and you'll find the average person. It's not because children are gullible, it's because that's when you make your mind up. When do people stop coming to Sunday school? It's around about 14. When people become Christians, it's about 14. When people become baptized, it's around about that age, usually. If you're an exception, praise God for that. But we've got to be very careful that we don't let these things slip. Do the works you did at first, says Jesus in this passage. When you first trusted Christ, you talked about Christ to anybody, I should imagine. Just a bit like we would when we were newly married or we were engaged to somebody. Very happy to talk about your beloved one. And the Lord Jesus should be our beloved one. And he should be the one that we talk quite naturally about. We would pray to him on a regular basis. Do you still do that? Or only when crises come? You read from the Bible daily. I was staggered when I did a walk through the Bible seminar. I think it was down the road here. And in a church. And at the end of it, there were about 90 people there. We had a 6-hour seminar. I don't do it these days because I found it rather exhausting to keep it going for 6 hours. But it was going through the whole of the Old Testament in 6 hours. And at the end of it, we would give a questionnaire. And one of the things was, do you read the Bible on a regular basis? And the number of people that ticked no was staggering. And then we asked them to promise, would they read the Bible for the next 30 days at the end of it? And it was surprising how many said they would. And you think, well, they're Christians. They should be reading the Bible every day anyway. But they weren't. Because they'd lost their first love. They'd let things drift. That's what happened in this church. When you first became a Christian, you memorized scripture. Remember being in Sunday school when you memorized scripture? Sometimes in song, sometimes chanted out. But we remember it. And when we first became a believer, we wanted to learn the scriptures, especially scriptures to be able to share with other people and tell them the gospel. If you've been involved in a Billy Graham crusade or any evangelistic crusade, you usually learn some verses that will help you at least to share your faith with someone else. I did the Navigator's Topical Memory System. That was learning 150 verses, but I don't think I could quote them to you now. Because it's happened to me too. You become lax. Your first love has gone. Should have been replaced by a maturer love, a more hard-working, passionate love that's increasing steadily every day as you go through your Christian life. But it doesn't always happen that way. And of course, when you first trusted Christ, you were happy to come to church on a regular basis. Now, if you ask people to come to church twice on a Sunday, God, somebody was telling me the other day that they were pushed to find a church in London where there were two services on a Sunday. Some of us used to go to about 4 or 5. Maybe that was too many. But at least be there when the church collectively comes together, especially for prayer and Bible study. The prayer meeting went years ago, didn't it? We combined that with the Bible study because we couldn't manage to do 2 nights a week. That would be really pushing it. We've lost our first love. And what does the Bible say here that we should do if that's happened to us. First, consider. In other words, think. Think about the past. Think about your own Christian life. Think about other people, what they do and what you don't do. Consider how far you've fallen, in other words, says the scriptures. And then, here comes the word, repent. I've got a friend of mine who works for the London City Mission. He drives a big van around. When he goes up to a bus stop, I'm not recommending this as the best way of evangelism, but he comes up to a bus stop, and if he's sort of parking there at a traffic light or something, he'll wind the window down and yell out, "Repent!" Now, it's not the best way of evangelizing, maybe, but he's enthusiastic. At least he does it. As Moody said, I prefer the method I use rather than the method you don't use, to the one who was criticizing him. And it doesn't matter how the Lord leads you, but just do it. So often we pull back because, I wouldn't do it that way, I wouldn't do it that way. A bit like the guy that came down to help us at the campsite. Oh, I wouldn't do it that way, I wouldn't do it that way. We've been doing it for 20 years. And we've built something so far, and he wasn't prepared to join in and part of the team. Staggering, isn't it? He calls himself a Christian. And you think, well, what's wrong with you? Repent and do the things you did at first. If the flame of love for Christ is beginning to flicker in your life, fan it into flame. Friday I was down at the campsite doing some work, as I always am, Tuesdays and Fridays, and we had a real special celebration because we were having a bonfire. And we all like having a bonfire. There's loads of stuff that we needed to get rid of, branches and all the rest of it. We had this wonderful bonfire. And it went well. We didn't even have to fan it. It was a really good bonfire. But you know that sometimes with a bonfire, in fact, I did take over a bucket of diesel. health and safety. It wasn't petrol. It was only diesel. Just to get it going. But I didn't need it because the fire was there. Is the fire still there in your heart? Is it still burning? Are you still wanting to move forward for God and do things for the Lord Jesus? Then, of course, there may be people here, for all I know, who have never trusted Christ as your Saviour. And he's definitely saying to you, repent. Repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus who died for you on the cross. Give him your life, especially if you're a young person, because you're making up your mind now. And that age group, 14, 15, is where we make up our minds about many, many things. And particularly whether we receive Christ or not. If you've been privileged enough and honoured enough to have heard the gospel clearly, and not many people in Bath have, not many in this country have, if you as a young person have heard the gospel, then respond to it. Because without Jesus Christ, you're lost. And you need him for your future in heaven. So, as I close, will you make that promise that I asked those people down the road to make? Will you pray and read the scriptures a little bit? Not great chunks. Asking you to read the Bible in a year. It's possible. People do it. My wife does it. I can't read fast enough, frankly. I'd be there all day if I was reading. But I read what I can. She can read a lot more than I can. Although when she reads a book, she can't tell you what she's read, but she can read fast. And sometimes it's better to read a little bit and chew it and meditate on it and get something out of it than to read a whole screed and not remember anything. Will he promise the Lord Jesus, who's saying to you, do the things you did at first. Come back to me. You've lost your first love. I want to revive that love. I want to fan your life into flames. I want to give you an awareness of the gifts that you have. There's so much work to be done in this church. And as some pastor said to me just the other day, in fact, on Friday, down at the campsite, this pastor said, well, It's the old story of the 80-20% syndrome. 20% of the Christians do the work and 80% don't. It's so sad when that happens. We should all be involved, all pulling together. And then as a united church, we can see the Lord bless abundantly. Our last hymn is a prayer, really. It begins, "Oh, for a closer walk with God." And if you start reading the Bible every day, if you start praying on a regular basis, the Lord will draw you closer and closer to Himself, because it's you that's moved, not Him.